When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors for the 2024 49ers season. Help out his podcast, and we have rates as low as $75 starting just so you can advertise with us. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com and get started today.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
You know, it's funny that a lot of the narratives out there is that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's stubborn. He doesn't change. He doesn't learn. He doesn't adapt. He's always on this. But I don't know. I dive in and contribute a ridiculous amount of time to these roster constructions. And so does the whole team. Shout out to everybody who's helped with this. Like, it's not just me. But I'm just, man, there's like 20, I think I counted, it was like 26 new players on the roster for the start of training camp compared to last year, right? And the biggest pivot that I've seen as far as roster construction goes is going from these redshirt players where you like let the young pups learn for a year and into immediate playing time to, man, 2024 49ers, there is a dynamic shift into backup roles and kind of that not quite starter level to, man, those are veteran jobs. And even the young pups that were in line for those jobs, man, free agency came and they said, nope, we're going vet. And, you know, if you've listened to any of the Shanahan press conferences, he has repeated the phrase, the moment's not too big for them. They've been around. They've proven they could do it in the heat of the moment, in the big game. All these different days, it's come through. And none more important than number 29 on our list, cornerback Isaac Yiadom, brought in on a one-year deal. Now, whenever he got signed, I was like, man, that's interesting. Because this is an NFL journeyman, ladies and gentlemen. He'd been on like a ridiculous amount of teams, going into his seventh season, drafted in 2018. He was drafted the same, he was drafted just a few picks off of after Tarvarius Moore, right? So they're like, if you, Contavious Street, same draft. So that's fun. But he's bounced around. Hasn't been good everywhere. He's coming off his best year, and it's not even a full year. But the Niners saw enough to not only go get him, they paid him $3 million. We'll talk about the guaranteed money and all that stuff. Man, they put this dude right into the starting lineup, straight out of at minicamp and OTAs. Like, this dude hit the ground at the top of the depth chart. And the 49ers got a lot of depth at cornerback. So they love him. Now, he's 29 on our list. When we did our four ballots ranked 1 through 91, I ranked him 25. I was the highest. The lowest we had was 33. If we had to redo it, you're bumping him up. Because this dude's starting. He's going to be the number 3 corner for the 49ers. It has been every single day. And whenever one of the corners are out, like Charvarius Ward gets a rest day, he's the starting number 2 guy. This guy is going to play starting snaps for the 49ers as that number 3 corner. And if any injury happens to anybody, he's your number 2 guy, period. He wears jersey number 22. And shout out to Josh, executive producer of today's show. 6'1", big cat, not going to lie. Like, you look at just, you know, whenever we go through all the metrics and all the different whatever, you know, 6'1", It comes in at about 192. There's some different numbers out there. Was one of, he's been in the league for 7 years, so those are going to kind of change at times. But 28 years old, not like he's super, you know, old, long in the tooth. He's all right. 32-inch arms, that's not bad. 4.5 40 on the slower side, but he's physical. That's kind of the thing that stood out to him. 6.85. Now, he's played a lot of snaps in the slot nickel role. 49ers say we want him on the outside only. And that's the only place I've seen him take any snaps at training camp. But the shiftiness is there. 35.5-inch vertical, 10-foot broad jump, 9 bench press reps, which is weird because that's bottom 5% of corners, upper body strength. But, man, he plays physical. He's a great tackler, right? So the bench press, you know, strength doesn't always translate to physical and tackler. A lot of times it does, but not always. There are exceptions. He is a great tackler, and the tape says that. We have a full breakdown of him up on the 49ersrush.com. If you want to go see that, sign up for Frank Gore tier and above, get access to it. But it's a fun tape. I walked away watching him, and I was just like, man, this guy, he's going to play for us. He has 49ers corner written across his head because of the physicality, the tackling, the zero hesitation to his game, the veteran experience, played in so many systems, including ours. It just makes sense. Now, you plug in all of his measurements into mock draftable. Listen to these names. Asante Samuel, Jacoby Shepard, Corey Webster. Way too many Eagles on that list to make me comfortable. But physical guys. Going into his seventh season, he's from Massachusetts, right? Worcester. he was a 3-star recruit. And, you know, finished at Boston College is where his final school was. But you kind of look at, I mean, his story's awesome. His parents, Bridget and Isaac, Ghana immigrants, came here, raised in Alexandria, Virginia, and was the number 3 recruit coming out of Massachusetts. Had a lot of success there. They were, you know, state championship team. He was, you know, all state honors, all this different stuff. He got offered by Bryant Holy Cross in Connecticut. All right, take that for what you will. And eventually found his way, you know, for all the way to Boston College, which is awesome. Drafted in the 3rd round. And so 99th overall in the 2018 draft by the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos. But he's played he hasn't played a lot. He has played a lot. But for somebody that's been in the NFL for 6 years and just got a $3 million contract, like, you would think this dude started a ridiculous amount, but that's not really the case. He started 28 games in his career, not a lot, but he started 8 games last year. He's coming off, and so you're buying on a trend. Something clicked whenever you watch that Saints tape, and it's just like, this guy freaking belongs. It's just what it is. Only had 2 penalties last year, and again, negatives. I could go back and forth. He's only played over 50% of snaps once in his entire career, and that was the 2020 New York Giants. He had 58% snaps. But he's the 49ers' number 3 corner. He's only out there in nickel situations. Now, the 49ers do that about 70% of the time. Can he hold on to that job? Does Renardo Green excel so well that they want to keep Diamador Lenore outside and move Renardo Green inside? That's not going to happen until the bye week. I can tell you that now. And I like Renardo Green. He's been playing well in training camp, but this is Yotam's job. It really, really is. Now, let's go to Kyle real quick, okay? Because when Isaac Yotam showed up, he was handed the starting position over Ambry Thomas, Rockison, you know, Darrell Luter Jr., who they drafted last year. He took it, and according to Kyle, he kind of ran with it. Maybe if I hit the right button.
He has. He had a really good OTAs. He's been really good at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's been one of those guys, too, that just, you know, we just got to know him in the offseason, but so locked in, such a professional, and really stood out in OTAs and picked up where he left off today.
You know, that was the start of camp, whatever. Other people were kind of shocked he got those first-team reps. I've been telling you guys all offseason, this dude's going to get the first-team reps, and he did. Now, you look at 782 snaps last season, not bad, 47% of the snaps. 267 snaps on special teams, that's a huge added bonus. His PFF grades last year, check this out, 81.1 overall, that's stellar. 74.7 run defense, stellar. 60 pass rush, that's the neutral grade. Nothing really to see there. 86.4 coverage, amazing. 69.5 special teams, nice with a half added onto it. Whatever. Not great, but special team scores aren't usually as high as defense and offense because there's not that many snaps, so those are not bad. Like, that would have been a top five for the 49ers last year. And again, jumped Ambry Thomas, rightfully so, Darrell Luter Jr., and Rockyasin at the show-up. They paid him more, and he has not relinquished it. He has impressed me continuously. So let's go through his NFL journey. Gets drafted in the third round by the Broncos. He's with them for 2 years. Doesn't work out. Goes to the Giants in 2020. That was it. Green Bay 2021. That was it. Goes to Houston 2022. Right? There we go. Then New Orleans, the second half of 2022 and 2023. And that's where it finally turned on. That's where the switch flipped or whatever you want to say. Like, that's where everything changed. Now, let's go to the 49ers' new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, on Isaac Yiadom.
I think with Ike, he came into the league and he kind of bounced around for a while. But everything we had heard about him and you see is what he's been when he got here. He's kind of self-made, like he works. He's very serious. I think when he came to sign, he actually like went and got a workout after he signed. Like, I've never seen that. But that's him. And I think that's what's kind of showing up with who he is. And he's very meticulous and the stuff. Oh, my bad. The stuff that showed up later in the year with him and how he competed against a lot of really good receivers, I think it's been awesome that we're seeing that now, too. He's very technical. He's very strong. And I think he's a guy that's also, like we talk about Mooney being strong and a tackler, he's got that in his history as well. Like, he's a tough guy. He's physical. He plays with his hands. He's violent. He communicates. He sees things before they happen. And that stuff has shown up.
And, you know, you talk about work ethic. Today, I was at training camp. This morning, depending on when you watch this, very first player out on the field. Very first one. So he's putting the work in. He's setting the tone. It's a new team. It's a one-year deal. He has seized every single opportunity. Now, has he been like the lockdown guy and on par with Diamador Lenore and Charvarius Ward? No. But I can tell you this, no cornerback behind him has gained ground on him. Does that make sense? Like, there's tiers. There's Demo and Charvarius Ward there by themselves. I would argue the second tier, it is just Isaac Yiadom. Then there's a gap, and then there's everybody else. And there's a lot there because, you know, I just put out today, I think this is the best cornerback depth by a mile. Might even be the best position room on the 49ers offense or defense. I think running backs, I think wide receivers, and I think corners. Yeah, like, I don't have any issues with what's going on in this corner room. It is solid. Now, it's only going to be like this for 1 year because there's six cornerbacks on expiring contracts. Diamador Lenore, Charvarius Ward, Ambry Thomas, Rockyasin, Chase Lucas, Isaac Yiadom. All one-year deals or last year of their contract. There's only three quarters signed through 2025 right now. Samuel Womack, Darrell Luter Jr., and Renardo Green. That's it. Now, obviously, you're going to keep somebody from this group, but who that is, you know, you kind of got to, you know, spin the wheel. Your guess is as good as mine. He's a good player. He really, really is. Now, you look at the contract, 1 year, $3 million, but $1.375 was guaranteed. $1.375 million. You know, that's $375,000 more guaranteed than Rockyasin, who got brought in on a little bit lesser contract. And believe it or not, Isaac Yiadom is making the second most money of the entire cornerback room behind Charvarius Ward. He's getting $13 million. Then you got Yiadom getting $3 million. Then it's a bunch of rookie contracts, right? Or one-year vets like Rockyasin or Chase Lucas. But they're, again, not getting near as much guaranteed or per year as Isaac Yiadom. The team has spoken. This guy is getting all the shots, and he's looked the part. We had the guy, number 26 last year. I won't throw his name out there, but he came in and didn't look good and had some major issues. Yadam's looked good. He's played 87 career games. 87. He's got the experience. The coaching staff loves him. the work ethic speaks for itself. This is cool to see. Hey, I don't know how long this room's sticking together for 1 year, but it's crazy deep, and Yotam rightfully so blogs at the top. Now, is Renardo Green going to take a spot inside and earn more playing time? I think eventually this year, probably, but that's up to Yotam to lose that job, and he clearly has it. And, if you had to ask me, okay, who's the number three starting corner week one? Dude, I might be at 97%, maybe 98% Isaac Yotam. Like, it's that high. The confidence level's through the roof. So glad to have him, and hopefully his journey stops here, and hopefully he stays here. You know, he would be able, this is the type of player that you could get on a discount if, let's say, he fits. You could bring him back next year on the cheap. You know, $3 million this year, but he balls out. You sign him to a five-year, $5 million deal next year. Like, that's ideal. We'll see if I can cut this clip next year. Maybe that's what it is. But Isaac Yotam makes this team better. And I can tell you this. I sleep better at night. Knowing that there is finally quarterback, veteran, proven depth with Isaac Yotam. And if he doesn't pan out or injures, Rocky Sin can step right into that role. Ambry Thomas, I ain't got a lot of faith in. But early in the season, I don't mind. But remember, where were we in the past to where we are now? The 49ers have improved dramatically. And I'm excited to see this guy. That's going to do it for us here on this countdown for number 29. And for the 49ers rush, we'll just keep counting down. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard every week in September. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you can combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week one. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams one pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So getting new prospects and new players on your favorite team is always fun. And, you know, we all fall in love with, like, the whole potential debate. You know, you could have all the skills and all the measurables and all the things in the world. But at some point, you got to put pen to paper. At some point, you've got to do it on the football field so that we could see, hey, this is why we were excited about this player. This is what he brings to the team and all those things. Well, we get to number 28 on this list, and I'm going to be the first to admit we're a little high on Robert Beal Jr. RJ is sophomore year edge rusher out of Georgia. He's got all the speed and size and strength and muscle, and he's jacked and all those things. Just hasn't put it together yet. And a lot of that, you know, he missed his rookie year with a hamstring injury, didn't get, you know, activated until like late November. So he didn't get a lot of practice time, all that stuff. Played in every single postseason game, included the Super Bowl. Didn't really do much. And now we're in training camp now, and it's like, man, where is this dude? Why is he not popping off? Why are we not seeing, you know, what happens whenever Robert Beal is turned loose? And it's kind of his first training camp because he missed almost all of the padded training camp last year. And it's just like, man, you know what? Perhaps we're a little early on this Robert Beal hype train, which stinks because, you know, with the Drake Jackson news, he's not even going to be playing at all during training camp. It's like, man, somebody's got to step up and be that number four, number five defensive end. And Robert Beal Jr. hasn't shown it yet through training camp. Now, preseason games are right around the corner. Maybe that will change some things, and maybe we can finally see, like, all right, here it is. But Robert Beal Jr., you know, he came in 36 last year, and it just, the momentum never happened because he got that hamstring injury in training camp. I remember he got hurt the day before we went full pads because I was at training camp the day we went full pads. I was like, where is Robert Beal Jr.? And so we're looking around and like, where is he? He's not out here. And like, not only is he not in pads, we can't find him. And so it was just like, we didn't know what happened. And then day two happens. We didn't get an update. And then finally, yeah, he's got a hamstring injury. He's going to be out for a while. That while turned out to be 5 months. It was a long, long while that he was out. So shout out to Josh. This is Josh's guy. He liked Robert Beal Jr. when we did our draft work of him last year before he was drafted. We did a lot of film breakdowns on him. And if you want to see him, the49ersrush.com is about the only place because he doesn't have much tape in the NFL. Fun player, played at Georgia, 6'4", 250. 34 5/8 inch arms. So you're talking, he has longer arms than Colton McKivitz does by a full inch. Like, he has NFL left tackle arm length, which is just crazy. So 6'4", 250. He's 24 years old now. Ran a 4.47 40-yard dash. That's fast. That's fast for any position in the NFL. Wide receiver, corner, it doesn't matter. That's fast. You talk about defensive end, that puts him in the 98th percentile. That is quick. Didn't do the three code, and I think I know why after finally seeing him in training camp this year. He ain't shifty. He ain't changing direction. He is tight-hipped. The bend, not really his thing, which, again, kind of makes sense whenever you see where he was drafted. Back into the fifth round. I mean, this dude was basically a six-round pick. It was a compensation pick at the back end of the fifth round. He's got straight-line speed. He's got length. He's got strength. But can he add some of the nuance to, you know, get around the corner? That's the question. I was watching him run the hoops just yesterday at camp, and I was like, that's not good. You know, they put the two hula hoops out there. They do this in the combine drill. You run the figure eight. And the whole time I was like, that was really bad. Now, he's straight line speed. He's jacked. He's huge. He's long. He's got all those things. But there's some issues. And so the fact that, you know, we're going through training camp right now, and it's like, man, I'm looking for some type of splash play. You can't hit the quarterback, can't get sacks, and that's really his MO, right? But, like, he's going against Jalen Moore, Colton McKivitz, Sam Hubbard, all these guys. It's not like he's going against Trent Williams. So the preseason is going to be as important to Robert Beal Jr. as almost anybody, because the 49ers have no defensive end depth, especially with Drake Jackson. They got three defensive ends they can count on. That's it. Somebody got to step up. Now, let's go back to right after the 49ers drafted Robert Beal Jr. Here's John Lynch just talking about what they loved about him.
Yeah, Beal's a really, really gifted athlete. You know, I want to – you rely a lot on relationships in this thing. Kirby Smart's been good to us. He's got a lot of players. You know, Kirby was a safety, and we kind of bonded over that. But, you know, Kirby said someone's going to get a really gifted and talented player if they just let this guy hunt QBs and set edges. And when he said that, that's exactly what we do. You know, he's not really good at going back and all that stuff. He could do it. But what Kirby said there really resonated. Our eyes saw the same thing. Ran a 4.47 so he adds speed. He's in the 6'3", you know, range, but he's got 34 and 5", so he's got that length you look for.
GTFO.
That's right. Our analytics, see if anyone can guess. We have I tell our analytics guys all the time, Plonsky and his crew, go watch the coaches, get in there, and let's come up with measurables that are what we coach. And GTFO is something Chris Kocurek is always screaming. You guys know what it is? Yeah. Okay. So he had the highest GTFO grade in the draft. So we're really fired up about that.
And so again, if you're measuring jumping out of your stance, getting upfield, right, get the F out, right? That's what that is. He's got it. But the other stuff we've got to see. And so you talk about the potential and what he's got. He's got it. But you have to kind of reset the timeline, sadly, because he didn't practice at all last year. He got activated late November for the playoff push. He had 2 weeks of practice, and, you know, he was getting like 4 snaps a game. That was about it. I think he had 8 snaps in the Super Bowl. Because that went to overtime, so just to, you know, try to keep some players fresh. This is his first real practice development time in the NFL. And so what we expected last year, you almost have to, you know, carbon copy, cut, paste over here. That's where we should have been this year. Now he's going to get the opportunity because the depth's not there in front of him. Now let's backtrack. Let's go through his journey. Georgia boy, and transferred a lot of high schools. Went to Norcross High School. What's up? Used to live out there. Transferred to IMG Academy. Then transferred again to Peachtree Ridge High School. Was a 5-star recruit. Went to Georgia. Graduated with the Learning Design and Technology degree, and I mean, he was huge. Number 27 player nationally, 5-star recruit on ESPN, whatever metric you want to look at. Like, he was that guy. He was an absolute stud. Part of new 2 college football championship teams at Georgia, 2021 and 23. Now, he was a rotational piece. Nolan Smith, who was drafted in the first round to the Philadelphia Eagles, was ahead of him pretty much their whole career. He was the backup. And so you're getting those same traits, athleticism, whatever, but with a lot less production. Now, here's the deal. And again, the injury totally hurt him. It never got one day full pads, still raw. And so can he, that development, the hamstring injury that caused him to miss almost all of last year, is he worse off than when we drafted him? Is he back better? We don't know these things. He had 79 snaps last year. 79, 39 on the defensive side, 40 on special teams. And I think special teams is kind of where he's going to make this roster. I do think he's going to make this roster. Now, if I was redoing these rankings, would I put Robert Beal Jr. at 28? I would not. I would not. I think 40, 45 is probably where he should be. I understand the positional value need at defensive end, but we'll see. Now, he packed on a lot of muscle this offseason, but again, I'm trying to balance this conversation. Let's cut to last year, right after the 53-man roster was set. This is John Lynch announcing that Robert Beal Jr. is going to go on IR, and kind of why and what they're hoping for.
I really like the group. For you guys to know, we announced the, I think Kyle talked about Danny Gray going to IR. Robert Beal will as well. He's coming off a hamstring that he re-injured. We thought the best thing for Robert, he's a guy we really like and are excited to work for, but we got to get that thing right. And he qualified for the short term. He had to make our 53. He's a guy who showed a lot, and we're thrilled about the prospect of working with him going forward, but we got to get him back so that he's ready. So we'll go through that process. Drake Jackson has had a tremendous offseason.
I kept that last clip in there. You got Danny Gray. You got Drake Jackson. You got Robert Beal Jr. Those are groups of names you don't want to be involved in. But that's where he is. And, he's healthy now. And hopefully he can stack some good days and, catch on and all those things. But you look last year, didn't play a lot. 5 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 quarterback hit, 1 sack. That sack came in week 18, the meaningless game against the Rams. He sacked Carson Wentz. It was a play-action boot, naked boot, and he just didn't fall for it, which was awesome. 2 hurries and only 39 snaps. So he got some production out of what he did, but we'll see. Now, he made 794,000 last year off of his rookie deal. 4-year, $4.084 million deal, so we'll see how that pans out. Played in 4 games. Now, look at the depth chart. Okay, you got 3 locks, and these are ice cold. Your number 1 defensive end is Bosa. Number 2, Leonard Floyd. Number 3, Yetur Gross-Matos. After that, man, who knows? Drake Jackson's pup. He's going to be out for the first month of the season, guaranteed. They said he will not be back during training camp. Probably not going to be back till after that either. Now, according to the rotations at training camp, Austin Bryant and Sam Ekwonu are the next tier guys. Those are your 4-5 defensive ends right now. Then after that, it's probably Alex Barrett, who's been with the Niners forever, and then Robert Beal. They're not handing Robert Beal anything. He's got to earn it. Now, whenever I first said, if you go back and listen to one of the other defensive end countdown videos before training camp started, I had Robert Beal as one of the locks, and I still think that he makes this roster, but I had Robert Beal Jr. ahead of Austin Bryant, ahead of Sam Ekwonu. That is not evidenced in the rotation that is taking place in camp. Austin Bryant and Sam Ekwonu are way ahead of Robert Beal Jr. at our current thing. So, yeah, he's 28 on our list, but that was right after free agency and the draft. Trading camp alters things. Now, I can't go back through and change the whole 91 series. We still got 27 to go after this, but it's a wait-and-see approach. And, the redshirt year philosophy kind of gets extended into 2 redshirt years. The gray shirt, if you college football, you know what's going on there. It might be year 2 to figure it out. And again, kind of the same logic that we apply to the rookies, maybe after the bye week, we'll see. Now, the one thing I will say is the 49ers will rotate that defensive end position. That is a philosophical trait that is core to the 49ers system and how they build. So Robert Beal Jr., even though he might be defensive end 4, 5, or 6, he's going to get snaps if he is healthy because we got nobody else. Usually they keep 5 or 6. If they keep 5 or 6, well, he's making it as that 5th or 6th guy. We'll see what happens. So I like Robert Beal. I like the potential. Need to see a little bit of development outside of just straight line speed and length. But preseason is where we're going to see that. That is where his time to earn more playing time will take place. So come on, Robert Beal Jr. Let's go get it. We're all excited to have you. You're Josh's favorite. Came in at 28, pretty high on our list. Hopefully he can prove us right. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So everybody has biases, right? Like we bring a lot to the table. It doesn't matter who you are, and you can try to work through those and overcome those, which I do. I'm terrible at it, and I try to always make them very well known up front. I'm going to do that for today's episode, man. Hook them. I am a diehard Texas Longhorn fan, have been for as long as I can remember. And today's player, the third perhaps installment of the Texas Longhorn defensive line edition. And I can't help it. Jordan Elliott comes in number 27 on this list. Now, would Jordan Elliott consider himself a Longhorn? He transferred from Texas to Missouri. It did much better at Missouri than it did at Texas. But this is a guy that's been on my radar for a long time, all the way back to my coaching, you know, days. He was a Houston kid. We'll dive into that. But, you know, we had Hassan Ridgeway, then we had Charles Minihue, and now we had Jordan Elliott. It just seems like every year we're adding some Texas defensive tackle. A lot of that has to do with Chris Kucerik. He's a Texas guy as well, Texas Tech. But anyway, like the connections are there. And Jordan Elliott is somebody that the 49ers have had their eye on. This is the fifth year, and that's the year he's going in. He came out, you know, the 2020 draft with Javon Kinlaw, and the 49ers did a lot of work on Jordan Elliott there. And he finished his rookie deal up in Cleveland. Probably took a longer start than a lot of people thought, but shined and has lived into his potential. So he comes in number 27 on our list, and I want to say thank you to Josh, executive producer of today's show. Fun player, wearing jersey number 92 out there, and he's a big dude. He came out of the draft 6'4", 303. And, you know, I was at training camp the other day, and I was like, man, he looks bigger than 6'4", 303. I think he's added on a consistent amount of weight since the draft. And whenever Chris Kucerik, who we're going to play the clip a little bit later in this little episode, he said he's coming in at 320. When he came out of the draft, like in my write-up here, I'll go to my write-up real quick. This was my pre-draft write-up before the 2020 draft, okay? I said, insane athleticism and body, looks like a tight end playing on the defensive line. No bad weight on him. Well, it seems like, you know, 5 years in the NFL has done him right. And so he came in 6'4", 303. Now they got him playing closer to 320. He's added 17 pounds. And so that has translated into a different play style than I thought he was going to bring into the NFL. I thought he was going to be one of those hybrid pass rushers from inside. He's turned into a pretty stout run defender. So it's pretty cool what the NFL can do for you. Now, his arm length, 32 3/8. All right, shorter arms. 26 years old. Ran a 5.02 40. 1.71 10-yard split. All right. 27.5-inch vert. All right. Like, he's just streamlined. And he's strong leverage player that, man, he's just stout. Like, you know Debo? Like, Debo's not huge. He's just freaking stout and thick. Like, that is exactly what Jordan Elliott is, just at the defensive tackle position. 24 bench press reps, pretty solid. You know, you enter in just his combine measurements. Now, this was 20 pounds ago. Devin Still Sr., Sharif Floyd, Marcel Darius, those guys. But he didn't play like them coming out of college, at Texas or at Missouri. And it took him kind of 2 to 3 years with the Browns to get to the point where it was like, oh, this is the type of pro he was supposed to be. This kind of all-around defensive tackle that can be a space mover and kind of bigger-bodied guy that can get penetration. It just took a while to figure that out for the Browns and for Jordan Elliott. And that's what he is now. You're getting a much better prospect that the Browns invested a lot in and gave him, you know, 2.5 years of development before it started to pay dividends. And the Niners just get a pickup right where they left off. And he's been good through training camp so far. By, you know, the 101s, which I don't put a lot of stock in, he's the guy. Like, you're looking for 101s, it's probably Javon Hargrave and Jordan Elliott as far as the defensive tackle guys. Now, he's a Houston guy, went to Westside High School, born and raised down in Houston, shot put, discus, All-American, Army All-American Bowl, first team All-American, you know, four-star recruit, all these different things. Goes to Texas and didn't get the playing time. You know, Texas rotates everybody. But he wanted starting position, transfers to Missouri, and it worked out for him. You know, he was SEC all second team in 2018, SEC all first team in 2019. He was just all over the place. And he even won when he was at Texas the Team Lifter of the Year award, which was huge. I think that's huge. So, workout warrior, you see it. And even that he's added pounds, like, you still see this is a dude that enjoys the gym. No doubt about it. Was a rotational player for the Browns his rookie year, sophomore year, before he became a full-time starter. And when Chris Kucerik was asked about it, I'll just play the clip. Yeah, pretty good praise.
Again, it goes back to, you know, we really liked him coming out of college, you know, out of Missouri, and when we were looking at him, and then, you know, we got drafted by Cleveland and played for Chris Kiffin, who was my assistant in 2019, and then played for Jim Swartz last year, who's one of my main mentors in the NFL. He gave him my first job in the NFL, and just watching him there, you know, I think Jordan just brings the size element that, you know, a guy like DJ Jones brought to the middle of our defense, you know, that 320-pound plus frame that also brings extreme, you know, explosion through contact, the ability to knock back double teams and dominate singles in the run game, and then a big man that can really reduce the pocket into the quarterback's lap with the strength and the power he's able to generate, you know, through his lower body, through his hands. Just a guy that, you know, early on we kind of targeted, you know, and then you know, just the work that he did in Cleveland, you know, the people that we contacted there that I know really well, you know, said that, you know, thought he'd be a really good fit personality-wise here, and he's been awesome. Brings size to our defense, strength to our defense, knock back to our defense from the end.
You know, my two words just after, you know, a week-long training camp, that's when we recorded this episode, right after the first week of full pads, is strength and leverage. Like that, you know, the size is there, right? That probably should have been added, but strength leverage, that's what comes across. Now, the 49ers don't do a lot of double teams. They do combo blocks a little bit different. He's going to be one of the guys that is tasked with, look, dude, you take on that double team, duo, whatever. That we're going to see. Can he do that? You know, PFF scores haven't been great, but again, this you're getting a player on the uptick, and that's what you're hoping you're going to get. Now, he was drafted the same class as Javon Kinlaw. Much later, he went in the third round. And if you just look at that defensive tackle class, not great. Turns out Justin Matabuke was by far the gem. He went in the third round as well. 21.5 sacks. Second is Derek Brown. He went ahead of Kinlaw with 8. And then Jordan Elliott and Javon Kinlaw are tied for third most sacks of that defensive tackle class with 5. So, you know, you're jumping down from Kinlaw. He's not near as big as Kinlaw. I don't know if anybody is. But you're getting that same kind of production in the pass game. Can he do as much in the run game? That's the question. The size advantage that he's developed says that he should be able to. So, like, are you getting, you know, Kinlaw finished his time in the 49ers. That playoff run was special. He was incredible. Can Jordan Elliott pick up there? That's what you're hoping. Now, he's not there to replace Kinlaw, but you lost Kinlaw. You got Jordan Elliott. Kinlaw got paid twice as much as Elliott, right? So you're getting a discounted defensive tackle. And again, I'm not saying Elliott's here to replace Kinlaw or that narrative, whatever else, but it's pretty damn easy to get the similarities. They're drafted in the same class. Now they're both, you know, played for the same 49ers team, all those things, same coach. That's there. Hey, look at his, he had 556 total snaps last year. That's 42% of the Browns' snaps. We don't ask our defensive tackles to get that many snaps. He was a starter for them. He's not going to start for us, right? So I think he started 14 games last year. Yeah, he started 14 games for the Browns, who I think had the best defense in the NFL. He's not a starter for us. Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave are our starters. He's going to be that number three rotational Bravo group. I'm probably going to be him and Kevin Givens out there. Jordan Elliott will play the bigger, you know, plugger role, and Kevin Givens will play the slasher role. Now, you look at his career, 1,918 defensive snaps, 326 special team snaps. PFF grades, not great last year. 46.5 overall, that's bad. 45.5 run, that's bad. 62.3 pass rush, good. 74.6 special teams, great. We'll see. You know, we did a full breakdown of his tape over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. Go check it out. And I walked away thinking, yeah, this is fun tape. Like, this fits what the 49ers do. It really, really does. Now, drafted third round, like I said, in 2020 by Cleveland, 88th overall. Here's the rest of my write-up. Pre-draft, lateral quickness insane. Not the best at the point of attack, but it's not a liability there. He's added 20 pounds. That's increased. He can anchor better. Pass rushing stud. This is where, right here, I said, could be an 8 sack a year per guy. I was bullish on his pass rush ability. Ideal build and style for today's NFL. That was correct. The sack production, not there. He's got 5 career sacks. I compared him to Nathan Shepard with a higher ceiling. I had an early second round grade on him. He went in the third round. So I was higher on him than most. Obviously, the 49ers were going to draft 2 defensive tackles, Kinlaw and Elliott. But I did think Jordan Elliott was a backup plan. I kept saying that. Go back to my mock drafts back then. I remember, if you don't get a defensive tackle early, Jordan Elliott's the guy you get in the second, third round. And I think the Niners were on that trajectory as well. It just didn't work out that way. His career numbers, 98 tackles, 8 tackle for losses, that's good. 10 quarterback hits, that's good. 5 sacks, 4 pass breakups. He makes his space known on the inside. And he's a better disruptor than he is production guy. That's kind of what the NFL's going after. I know it upsets the fans when the sack numbers aren't as high as you want them to be. This is a positive player. This is a player that plays team-style pass rush that makes everybody else around him better. Who was the player, defensive player of the year last year? Myles Garrett. A big reason why that was guys like Jordan Elliott that can press the pocket and stop the quarterback from stepping up. Instead, they got a retreat. That makes the arc easier to run on the, you know, for the defensive ends. Nick Bosa, right? Leonard Floyd. Push the pocket. We've got one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. Make their job easier. Make their job easier. And with Hargrave and Jordan Elliott, you got 2 of those guys that can literally push the pocket and pass pro. I think that's huge. I really do. Injuries haven't been bad at all. Very minor. Played a lot of games. Started 34 games for them. 14 last year. He's played in 66 games. Health? You're getting health. You're getting durability. You're getting somebody that's played a lot in college, that's played a lot in the NFL. You know what he is. He signed a 2-year, $7 million contract with the 49ers, so average $3.5 million a year. Again, look what Kinlaw got. Look what we're paying. This is an area where we could save a little bit of money and hopefully get a similar style, you know, cap hit and all that. $2.1 million cap hit this year. In his career, he's made $7.3 million so far. Love that. Make your money, man. I absolutely love it when people make money. Now, let's look at the depth chart. 49ers usually keep 5 to 6. Jordan Elliott's a lock. Period. Your starters, Hargrave, Malik Collins, the Bravo group, Jordan Elliott, Kevin Givens. I think the top 4, that's solidified. Being at training camp, that's what it is. Now, the guys after that, and this is my updated depth chart based on the rotations at training camp. T.Y. McGill, Kalia Davis. I don't think Kalia Davis had a great camp yet. It's not bad, but not great. Evan Anderson, Shaquelle Brown. Like, you've kind of got this 1, 2, 3, 4, these 8 guys. You keep 5 to 6. Elliott's making it. It's just, is Elliott closer to the Bravo group? Or is he going to push Collins for some more starter snaps? I doubt it. I think they just want this healthy rotation and sliding all that stuff in. So I like Jordan Elliott. I tried to get that out of the way early. I've been high on him since high school, college. I was higher on him than most in the NFL draft. I'm very thankful. I love this signing. But can he be that guy that can anchor against double teams? That's probably the biggest question. If he can do that and keep this Bravo group from getting run on, that's been an issue in the past for the 49ers for probably the past 4 or 5 years. When Armstead went out there, it got bad. It got bad. Armstead's not going to be there anymore. So can somebody else step up and anchor? I think Malik Collins on the starting group, Jordan Elliott on the Bravo group. It's a projection, but it's a projection the 49ers are banking on. And I'm with them. I like this kid. I always thought he was just going to be a pass rusher. I was wrong. I like saying whenever I'm wrong, and whenever I'm wrong in it in a good way. So I'm excited, man. Jordan Elliott, hook 'em, baby. I don't even know if he claims Texas anymore, but that's okay. Go get it done. Number 27 on our countdown, and for us, we'll just keep counting them down, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors for the 2024 49ers season. Help out us podcast, and we have rates as low as $75 starting just so you can advertise with us. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com and get started today.